Well, good morning to each one of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here today. I've been looking forward to being here with each one of you. I've never been in Prague before. There's a lot of faces that I'm not real acquainted with. There's some that I am. I'm thankful today that we are a blessed people to be able to gather in an open setting like this and preach the good news of the gospel to whosoever will. That song was a beautiful song this morning, and one of the things that makes it so beautiful is that we serve a God who cares about us. He knows our names, He hears our honest supplication, and He's willing to come meet with each one of us. My prayer for this meeting is that we would each one be challenged and encouraged in this race that we're in. We want to make it to heaven. That's what's important more than anything else. I've been counting on your prayers this week and ask that they would continue throughout the week, that the Lord would bless. I have a message this morning that, well, I guess I'll be honest with you, I've been looking forward to delivering. It's a message that is encouraging, it's uplifting to me, and I hope that you feel the same. I'd like to start with two accounts leading up to our main passage, so I won't spend as much time on them as we could. I'd like to start in the 10th chapter of Mark in the 46th verse. No, I'm good. Thank you. Mark 10 and 46, it said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still." I love that part.
Amen.
"And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou should I do to thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." There's so much that can be said about this beautiful passage, and I'm going to have to keep myself from going there this morning. When Bartimaeus pled for mercy the first time, he ran into opposition, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
When he pled for mercy, when he recognized the need that he had, and when he pled for mercy from Jesus, he ran into opposition. The people say, "Oh, now Bartimaeus, it calm down here. Quiet down a little bit. The Lord's passing by. We're trying to focus on what the Lord has to tell us. Just keep your space over here. You got your spot here on the sidewalk. Just watch. Just observe. And allow the rest of us to be blessed by Jesus passing by." But Bartimaeus, he didn't accept that, did he?
No, he
didn't. It said that he cried the more.
Yes.
And what was it that happened when Bartimaeus cried the more? It said that Jesus stood still. And Bartimaeus went to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What is it that you would like me to do for you, Lord, that I may receive my sight?" What was the result of it? He received his sight. And who do you think was one of the first people Bartimaeus saw? He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. When Bartimaeus pushed through the press when he did not allow the opposition that came his way when he wanted to see Jesus, when he didn't allow that to happen, the result? He saw Jesus. Yes. My desire and testimony this morning, I want to see Jesus. Yes. And the question this morning is, when was the last time that you can say, I saw Jesus? When was the last time that you can say, yes, I felt His touch? My cup overflowed. You know, we read the Psalms and it says, my cup overflowed. I know what it means. I know what it means to have my cup overflow. And I can't explain it to the world very well. You start to just, you need somebody else that's had their cup overflowed to be able to explain to them what that means. Jesus wants you to experience that. I want to see Jesus this morning. I want to have that experience. I want you to have that experience. And I want to have the testimony that the Greeks that came to Philip, remember that? And they desired to see Jesus. And they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And I want to grab that real quick. That's in the 12th chapter of John. And the 21st verse. John 12 and 21. It said, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired of him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip to Jesus. So they got this little thing going on. The Greeks came and said, hey, we'd like to see Jesus. So then they went and told Philip, hey, the Greeks over here, they said, we want to see Jesus. So they told Andrew. And so then the two of them went to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, the Greeks over here, they want to see you. Well, he gave a response like I'd never heard before. When someone says, hey, Rod, so-and-so wants to see you, you typically you think, oh, really? Well, maybe we can, when can we see each other? Listen to what Jesus' response was to the person that said, they want to see you. Here's what he said. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That probably got their attention. Did he hear what we just said? We said the Greeks wanted to see him. What does that have to do with it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I believe that incorporated in this response of this message to these men was how we can come see Jesus. Yes. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. The Lord heard the question. He knew what he wasn't confused by the statement that, Lord, these people want to see you. He heard what they said.
Yes, he did.
And he gave a response for us to better understand how you can see Jesus.
Yeah.
And he likened us, really, unto a corn of wheat that falls in the ground. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord set it up that a seed, when it goes into the ground, that it dies first. And then it comes forth and bears so much more than it was before. Look at a corn, a kernel of corn. You put it in the ground, and then you have corn fields, expansive corn fields, stalks that came from one corn of a seed of corn. Look at the seeds of the trees, the fruit trees and vegetables. You take a little apple seed and plant it in the ground, and then you get something so much more after the seed dies. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord set it up that way. He didn't have to do that. But He knows that we as humans need things to help us understand what He's trying to tell us. Do you want to see Jesus? Jesus said, look, here's the deal. Here's what you need to do. Be willing to die out to your cause. Be willing to die out to what you want and to who you are. And if you're willing to do that, I will bring you a life that is so much more than what you started with. Now, can you imagine if the seed told me, I'm holding the seed, and I said, now, apple seed, I'm going to plant you in the ground now, and you're going to have to die. And the seed says, oh no, I don't want to do that. I like the way I look. I like my life. I have my own purpose. This is my life, and I know best how to do it. And I say, look, I've been around a while. I know that if you'll be willing to die in the ground, you'll turn into something so much better than what you are. And the seed says, no, I don't want to do that. I know best about my life. And we look at that and say, if only you would just believe what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Lord wants to do that with us.
Yes.
He's saying, if you would just trust me, you want to see me? Do you want to feel and experience abundant life?
Amen.
Just trust me. Let go of the things that I tell you aren't good for your spiritual life. Be willing to die out to yourself. That's what he said here. If you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to love it less than what the Lord has to offer, I'll show you who I am. And I want to show you who I am. Sadly, most of the world, they don't buy into this. Because we live in a world that it caters so much to the flesh. Have it your way, right? Isn't that what Burger King says? Have it your way. You get to do whatever you want. And we're taught over and over in life. You just drive down the road. Everything appeals to the flesh. Everything appeals to your senses. Everything is catered to you do what you want. You get what you want. You go where you want to go. And if we're not careful, we're programmed like that. We can allow the world to disrupt what God wants for us in life. And then we miss out. And sadly, the majority of the world, they miss out on what the Lord has for us. God wants us to recognize He has a cause for you that's greater than yourself.
Yes, He does.
And He has life to offer you that is greater than what you can have if you just keep it whatever you have. That's what you're going to end up with. If you don't let go of it and die out to it, well, that's exactly what you're going to end up with. And it's eventually going to die. And you're going to end up with nothing. May God help us all today to have a vision, to have a desire of heart. Lord, I will press forward. I will overcome the obstacles. When I run against those things that hinder me from seeing you, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes to meet you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see you. Now I want to read a story of a man who did just that. In the second chapter of Mark, I have a lot of favorite stories. My children probably say, well, all these stories are your favorites. But this is one that I do really like. As a child, I don't know. I think we used to have a Edgar Meyer's storybook. Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Must have been a picture of this that I have in my mind from a young child. So it's always stayed with me of this man. This is a beautiful story in the second chapter of Mark. It said, and again he entered into Capernaum. This was talking about Jesus after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So Jesus came into town. He went into this house and started preaching. And so many people came in, couldn't even get in at the door. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. I think that was the picture in the storybook, the men up on the roof, you know, with this sick man. Captures a little boy's attention. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain scribes sitting there, and they started giving Jesus kind of a bad time about what was all going on. And he had a little bit of a discourse with him while this sick man was there. And in the end, Jesus told the man, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into the house." This account begins with the man that had great need, didn't it? This was a man who had palsy. Nobody could help this man that had palsy. There wasn't anywhere he could go to get help. This man had a great need in his life. And if he didn't come in contact with the Master, he was going to end his life in this kind of state. And I believe that this account captures the state of every one of us that are here this morning. Every single one of us that are here today, we have great need in our lives. We need the Lord. If you continue on in life without God, it is a dead end at the end of the way. Sometimes people think, "Well, I'm doing just fine," not realizing the lives that they're affecting, the end of the road that they're on. Every single one of us are like this man. We have a great need, and this man came to the place where he realized, "I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus." He was unable to help himself. And what follows, I believe, describes what we all face so many times when we come to see Jesus. We face the obstacles. We face the press. We say, "Oh, I need Jesus. I want to see Jesus." But then when we go try to see Jesus, so often we run into things that seem like hinder us from seeing Jesus. Just like Bartimaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. He started calling out for Jesus. He was going to do his part. But then they said, "Oh, you need to quiet down." This man wanted to see Jesus. But when he got there, there was so much around, he couldn't even get through the door to see Jesus. And so often what we do is, we see all these obstacles, all these barriers, and it just gives us reason, "Well, I guess I'll just turn around and go home." Do you know that that's what this man could have said? It said that straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. This man heard that Jesus was in town. And I can just hear him saying, "Hey, I heard about Jesus. This is the man that has the answer to my need. Let's go see Jesus." Excited, perhaps. So they said, "Are you up to this? This is going to be quite a trip. We're going to put you on this bed and carry you down the streets. Are you sure you want it?" "Yes, I want to see Jesus." "Okay." So they put him on his bed and hauled him to this house. I don't know how far it was. I wonder if he started to feel some disappointment the closer he got. Saw this big crowd around, thinking, "How am I going to see Jesus?" Perhaps someone that was carrying the bed might have said, "Oh, wow, looks like we're going to have to try another day. Looks like maybe this isn't your day today. There's just too much around to get in and see Jesus." That happens to us so often in life. We want to go see Jesus, and all of a sudden this comes up, and this pops up, and, "Well, we got this condition in our life that's got us wrapped up in nets, sins from the past that complicate our lives. We have a desire to go see Jesus, but then we feel like not going to be able to see Jesus because they're there." This man got to the door, and the door was blocked. And I'd like to say it this way. The way of no change was blocked. I want you to remember that. That stuck with me when I was staying. The way of no change was blocked. Do you know a lot of times we'd like to go see Jesus on our terms? We'd like to go see Jesus and have Jesus work in our lives without us having to do anything out of the ordinary. We'd like to go see Jesus and not have to do anything that causes us any trouble at all. We've got our lifestyle. We've got the way that we spend our time. We've got the hobbies that we do. We have the things that we enjoy. We've got the lifestyle, where we live. The list can go on and on and on. And we'd like to keep all that the same, but we'd like to see Jesus. The way of no change often is blocked when you want to go see Jesus. That's what happened here. And most people turn around at this point and they go home.
Yes.
And they can say, well, I tried. I tried to go. I tried to see Jesus. I heard what the preacher said. And I went to try to do what I thought was right. But it just didn't work. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I remember when I was in college, I had a classmate. And it was getting towards night, and we were headed to our dorms or preparing to go our separate ways. And we started having a discussion about the Lord. And he said, Rod, he said, do you talk to God? Something like that. Well, yeah, I talk to God. He said, how do you talk to God? How does that go? Well, I tried to explain to him, you know, what all was involved, and tried to explain to him how you talk with God and pray. And he asked a few questions. Well, he was interested in talking to God. Rod, do you think God will talk to me? I said, well, of course, Eric. Lord will talk to you. You just pray to Him and pour out your... He'll talk to you. All right, Rod, I'm going to try to talk to God tonight, he said. And so he went to his dorm and I went to mine. I met up with him the next day and he said, I tried to talk to God last night, but He didn't talk to me back. He said, I guess God only wants to talk to you, Rod. He said, I guess God doesn't want to talk to me. I said, Eric, God will talk to you. You know, no. Well, I guess God just, He doesn't want to talk to me. I tried, though. He tried. I tried to talk to God. Well, we went our separate ways, and I ended up transferring and went somewhere else to a different city. It was about 2 years later. It was about 11 o'clock at night. I was in bed, and my phone rang. And I picked the phone up, said hello, wondering who in the world's calling me at 11 o'clock at night. And it was Eric. He said, Rod, I got saved. And he was all excited. Rod, I got saved. I said, well, that's wonderful. You got saved. And he was telling me what happened. He said, Rod, do you remember the night that I said I wanted to talk to God? I said, well, yeah, I remember that night. He said, you remember when I told you that God wouldn't talk to me? I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, the reason that I couldn't get through to God was because I was unwilling to humble myself before God. He said, I just couldn't humble myself before God. I just couldn't get there. I tried to talk to Him, but I just didn't feel like I needed to humble myself. But I've got a hold of God now, and I'm saved, and He was happy.
Amen.
You see, there's a difference.
Yes,
you have to rise above what you face when you want to see Jesus, when you want a changed life. You have to resist the way of no change. Because many times we're going to have to make some changes in life. This man came up to the door and he found the door shut. He couldn't get through the door. Couldn't get in. We've got to press against the press even if it causes a disruption. You know, I like to think about the Lord being on the other side of the doorway. Couldn't see the man, and he's in there talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he's watching this man come forward through the walls. And I love just thinking about, this is just giving me a little liberty here, if you will. I like thinking about the Lord watching, knowing that the door was going to be blocked, and wondering, what is this man going to, how bad does he want to see me? What's he going to do? Just like He watches you. That's right. The Lord's watching you to see, what's He going to do? What's she going to do? They say they want to see me. How bad do they want to see me? They're getting ready to meet a closed door. What are they going to do? And I can just see the Lord talking to the people in the room watching this man. And I can just see the Lord start to smile when the man says, we're heading for the roof. And people looking at Jesus thinking, what's He smiling for? He's not talking about something that seems to elicit a smile. Why is He grinning? He's grinning because He just saw a man that said, I'm going to see Jesus regardless. And all of a sudden, there's some noise on the roof. People say, what in the world's going on with the roof? And I can see the man on his way to the roof. People saying, you can't do that. Yeah, watch me. You can't go. You got to go through the door right here. We're going through the roof. Yeah, but you're going to cause a disruption. That's right, I'm going to cause a disruption. I want to see Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. This was a man on this day who desired to see Jesus. It was more than, yeah, I think I'll go. Maybe it'll help. He put in his mind, I want to see Jesus. He wanted to be touched in a personal way. And I want to tell you this morning, God came to touch you in a personal way. He came to bring you more than a religion with a set of rules. He came to bring you a religion that was more than just a profession with no power. He came to bring you something that was real, that touched your heart, that changed your life, that causes you to be able to take up the old bed that you used to be confined to and be able to go away a different person. That's what God came to do for all of us. That's what He came to do for this man. You remember the words of Jesus when He said, hey, who was it that touched me? Who touched me? You remember that story? The woman with the issue of blood, she couldn't get help anywhere else either. Listen, I know there's people here this morning that have needs in your heart, and you've never been able to get them solved before. I know there is. And you've got to the place where you feel like, no one can help me. There's no answer. This woman got to that place. She spent years trying to get somebody to help give her the answer. She couldn't find anybody because they couldn't. It was only something the Lord can do. And that day she got up and said, I'm going to see Jesus. What did she meet when she went to see Jesus? Huh? Well, what? The crowd, the press, the obstacle. She ran into the same thing. Did it stop her?
No.
Who saw Jesus that day? She did. And I like that story too. The Lord sitting there, people all around, pressing in on Him, touching Him. And all of a sudden the Lord says, who touched me? And the disciples say, what? What are you talking about? Who touched you? I just touched you. Who touched me? Lord, what are you talking about? Who came and touched me? This is what I came to do. I came to touch other people. That goes beyond just a physical surface touch. Who touched me? And the woman came forward. Master, it didn't say she came forth trembling. Is that what she said? She came forth trembling. It was me. It was me. I was the one. She knew who she was. I can see the Lord standing there teaching, all of a sudden that tingle go down the back of His neck because the virtue went out of Him. That's why He came to the world. He didn't come to the world just to have big crowds, to have some big service somewhere that makes some big production and everybody go away the same and say, well, I went to church today. He came to touch you. He came to change you. He came to solve the problems that you have. He wants you to go away saying, I was touched by the Master. I came and had great need, and I left carrying my bed. I want to push through that press. It said that in the fourth verse, when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They took the roof apart. I want to ask you this question today. What measures have you taken? I'm going to rephrase that. What measures are you taking this morning to do whatever it takes to reach Jesus? Or will you turn away if the changes don't quite fit the house that you want to live in? You know, we come to Jesus a lot of times and we want the Lord to touch us and bless us, but we got it all on our terms. And on our time frame too. Lord, I'm in a hurry. I got 15 minutes. I got to leave. But Lord, I need help today and I kind of need it right now. And it kind of needs to be like this. And it's always the Lord that's supposed to be doing the miracle working. The Lord wants to do miracles on our behalf. But He told us a long time ago, you got to be willing to die out to your way and who you are because I have such a better way for you. You got to be willing to go through the roof sometime. You have to be willing to cause a disruption in your own life. I'll guarantee that caused a disruption. Sir, that's not your house. Who's going to pay for the roof? I'll pay for the roof. Don't worry about the roof. The Lord's trying to teach in there. Quiet down. You're causing a... Yes, I'm causing disruption. I want to see the Lord. You have to be willing to want to see the Lord. Are you changing some walls in the house? You know, sometimes we have everything set up just so, and the Lord wants us to do a remodel. And He says, Rod, you can see me and experience me in such a fuller degree if you would do a little remodel here. change this room around a little bit. Change your house around a little bit. If you do this, are we willing to do that? Resist the response from the world that says, oh, that's not necessary. I got to admit something to you this morning. I get weary of that turn of phrase. Oh, I don't think that's necessary. I'm sorry, bear with me. I don't like that. Too many people live in the world with the response, oh, I don't think that's necessary. When you're talking about what you need to do to get closer to the Lord, when you're talking about the race of your life, when you're talking about eternity, and you start bringing things up that might be a hindrance drawing closer to the Lord, and the response is, well, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it's necessary to do that. The world's going to tell you that your whole life through. The enemy of your soul is going to tell you that. Oh, you don't need to take it that seriously. Oh, that's not necessary. You don't need to tear the roof down. Just come back another day. Wait till the crowd clears out a little bit. Oh, you can still live your life how you want. God's bigger than that. That's not necessary. God is looking for a people who are willing to do whatever it takes.
Amen.
Are you willing to do whatever it takes? It gets personal. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Have you seen Jesus lately? Have you felt His touch? Be like Zacchaeus. Leave your reputation behind and go climb a tree. Don't worry about what other people think. Well, what are they going to think if I do this? Maybe it just gives me an opportunity to tell them what it is I'm trying to do. Be willing to do whatever it takes so that Jesus can say to you, this day salvation has come to your house. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, sons, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then He went on down and He said, and I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately He arose, took up His bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, don't miss this part, y'all listen, we never saw it on this fashion. I love that one too. Be willing to push through the press whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. How bad do you want to see Him today? Purpose in your heart to want to see Jesus and do whatever it takes to go see Jesus so that you can get to the place where you can say, I never saw it on this fashion before. It's going to take you rising above the obstacles. Let me say this. There's a difference between coming to see Jesus and seeing Jesus. There's a difference between the two. Lots of people go to see Jesus, but they don't always see Jesus. There's a difference between going to see Jesus. I know I'm repeating myself. It's on purpose. Difference between going to see Jesus and seeing Jesus. When you go and actually see Jesus, it involves rising above the obstacles that you face on your way to see Jesus. And most people aren't willing to do it. Look, if there's a gap and chasm in the road and you can't cross the road, go find an airplane and fly over the top of it. Instead of just saying, well, it looks like the road's busted here. I'm not going to be able to drive over it. How bad do you want it? Get a helicopter. Make a bridge. Get somebody to help you. Don't just say, well, I tried, and then go back home. Be willing to rise above whatever it takes to see Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you unexpected end. And right below it said, ye shall seek and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. A lot of time we give the Lord about 15 minutes. Maybe we give Him a little bit more than that. We give a little bit of a try, and then nothing happens, and then we think, well, I guess the Lord didn't hear me. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to stay here as long as it takes. I remember when I was very young, I was in a camp meeting somewhere hearing some sort of message like this about, you know, just pray until the answer comes. Pray until the answer comes. So I went home and I got down on my little knees beside my bed and I decided, I told the Lord, I'm going to stay here until the answer comes. I'm going to pray as long as it takes until I feel the presence of the Lord. So I was just praying, asking the Lord, Lord, I want to feel your presence. And I was praying, I'm going to be here until the answer comes. I was a very young boy. And finally I said, Lord, I want to hear a loud noise to know that you're here. I'm going to pray until I hear a noise. And about the time that came out of my lips, I heard this, woo! And that was it. One loud siren right outside my room. And I'll guarantee you, I got up my knees. The Lord is in this room right now. He heard my prayer. It's the faith of a child. Lord, I'm going to stay here till the answer comes. And He answered my prayer. Are we willing to do that as adults? Are we willing to push and press? And have you cried louder? Have you cried all of the more? Do whatever it takes. Live your life so that you can say, I've never seen it on this fashion before. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, and then you read later, several chapters later than that, the scribes sent the officers to go get Jesus so they could bring him back and get him in trouble and try him. And they came back empty-handed, and they said, hey, where's Jesus? I thought we sent you to go get Jesus. Where's Jesus? You remember what their response was? Never a man spake like that man spake. Never saw anything like that before. God wants you to be able to say that in your mind and in your heart. He wants that to be your testimony. Throughout the course of this meeting, if you have a desire in your heart to feel and experience Jesus in a greater way than what you have felt, then let this be the time that you push through the press. That you tear a hole in the roof, that you climb a tree, that you push through the obstacles, so that you too can say, I never experienced it on this fashion. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to make it to the end with victory. Pray for me. Amen.